Hi, welcome to the Five Kennies podcast for June 2011. This month, we're happy to share with you an audio trip through Eastlake with our friends Laura Moema and volunteers from Crandall University, Thomas Coldwell and Jen Fry, who have been serving with us for the past 4 weeks. We hope you enjoy seeing Eastlake through their eyes.
So welcome to the Five Kennies podcast. This is a recording we're making while we're driving through Eastleigh with Laura Moema, the program officer for the IFTEAM program in Eastleigh. And Thomas Caldwell and Jen Fry, who are short-term mission volunteers with us through the month of May here in Kenya. So,
well, the roads aren't really paved. There's lots of potholes, which you might hear the van going through. And there's lots of little markets and stalls, so there's like huge piles of charcoal for firewood for people to cook food on, and little stalls selling chapatis and mandazis, which are little fried donuts, bananas.
There are people everywhere in Eastleigh.
Chickens. There are some people who like are begging on the street, or who are trying to sell like flip-flop insole things.
Really clean butcheries.
Very, very clean butcheries. If you want a clean butchery, come to Eastleigh.
It's bananas everywhere.
Yes.
And
there's
bakeries.
Stores are hand painted. All the advertisements, and I don't know who paints them, but they must be very good. Because everything, and so all the stores have all these colors, but everything else is very gray. Even the trees have like dust on them, so they're gray.
There's lots of posters right now because there's an election happening.
Mm.
And Mitachi. Sometimes we'll hear the vehicle driving with the guy with the speaker, and they're doing campaigns, so it's very loud and they get really excited.
We're driving by a mosque right now, Marinette,
where a lot of mosques.
Yeah, so throughout the day we hear five times people calls to prayer.
There's a mosque on one side and a Christian school on the other side, a Catholic Christian school.
And there are shops everywhere. If you don't have like a little shop thing, you can put a blanket on the ground and you just sell your stuff from the blanket.
There's lots of piles of garbage all over the sides of the streets, and people walking. Lots of people carrying water and food and other things that they're going to use through the day or they're going to sell.
Eastleigh is basically really highly populated, and mostly by Somalis who are Muslims, as opposed to my hometown. But I would say that it's been a challenge and at the same time a lesson being learned living in Eastleigh. How to walk, watching where you're going, watching who's watching you, having to walk like carefully, not like as carefree as back home. But it's been great staying around. And have also had a great experience with Tom and Jen. They're fun to be with. The girls love them. The kids will miss them. Maybe as we go on, we could chip in.
I've been in Eastleigh before, so I didn't really have any... I kind of knew what I was coming into and working in the center, and it was a lot different because this time I've been with the Oromo and Somali women a lot more, and it's been very good. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if they would really accept me as a male or as a Canadian or what I was going to do, and it's just been really fun to look for those times when we can laugh and when we can just have fun together and not feel like an outsider, and we all feel together, and that's really... It's been really cool and something I didn't quite expect was going to happen the way it did, but it feels really good. Yeah.
I never really had, like, I tried not to make expectations or pictures in my head of what it would be like. The only thing I really saw were, like, photos from Thomas's trip 2 years ago, and, like, I would look up on the internet Eastleigh and stuff like that, so I only see pictures. And I really didn't experience until I got here. But it's been really different because Kenya is so much different than Canada, and just like the culture and the language and like just the way that people go about their lives. And coming into Eastleigh, I was kind of intimidated because like I didn't know, I'd never interacted with like Muslim people before, especially Muslim women with their hijabs and their like their dress always kind of intimidated me a bit because I didn't know how to interact with them. So meeting the women in the center was really cool because they're so welcoming and they just want to learn and know you and teach you about their country and their lives. And we've got to go on some home visits and visit with some families, and that's been really cool too. We've been welcomed into homes, and we learn about how they got to Eastleigh and the people in their family. So it's been a lot of learning, a lot of taking in.
It's neat to hear too when you go into a home of a Somali or a Roma woman and they tell you that their home is now your home and you can come in whenever you want, and they want to feed you and they want to really make you feel welcome, and just a sense of hospitality. Even though we're Christians and they're Muslims, they just really love us. Mm. And I think that that's a really great lesson for us all to learn, that we're all people and we need to love each other as people.
What do you think you guys will take back to Canada from this? What, Thomas, for you, like what will you take back differently than last time?
Yeah.
And Jen, what will you tell people?
I think for me, there's so much, like just in this 1 month, like not even a month yet, but just being here for this amount of time and having experienced 2 years ago a little bit of Eastleigh and a little bit of Kenya, I really have no idea what I can sort through, or like there's just so much, like just the way that we don't have to necessarily preach the gospel to live it, and like I don't know, there's just so much working through in my head right now, just like what are we supposed to be as Christians, and what are we supposed to do as the church, and does Canada have it all together? Well, I don't think so. And does Kenya? Well, I definitely don't think so. And so trying to figure out how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to be instead of what we're supposed to do, I think that that's something that I'll definitely be challenged with and struggling to figure out for my own life. And
I think maybe that if you were to take back some of the lessons that you've learned to Canada would be that if other people want to minister back here or in different communities, they need to understand that they've got to build trust first with the community that they're working with. Mm-hmm. Like you build trust with the ladies and now some of them will even shake your hand and will welcome you in their homes because they know it's not about religion. You're not going to mess up with what they believe in. Yeah. It's a matter of you trying to help them. They understand and they trust that. And so if you're going to teach them something, is that they need to create a basis of trust in the communities that they intend to work with.
Yeah, it's really about the relationship.
Yeah.
It was cool today. We did some painting with the women in Ifting. And today I was sitting at a table and a girl across the table from me, Fatima, was painting the Canadian flag. And I just thought that was really awesome. So then I asked her if she could teach me to paint the Somali flag. So together we were painting these different flags, and it was just a real spirit of unity in the room. And it was an awesome experience for me, for sure. Jen, did you want to answer what you'll take back?
Well, like Thomas was saying, like, there's a lot to go through and to process, and like it's so different. So it's hard to grasp, but like even before I came to Kenya, I've always kind of struggled with the idea of poverty and how do you handle it, and what is your responsibility, especially as a Christian. And like I know in my life I've been very blessed and I have a lot of like I'm going to school, I have money, I have like place to stay and food to eat. And like coming here in Kenya, like and going on the house visits, we've seen people who have like almost nothing. And like they share, like the people, especially the refugees who come in and don't know Eastleigh, don't know the area, don't know where to get food or even how to speak the languages, like Swahili or English, like the community basically welcomes them in and shares with them until they can get on their feet. And like just seeing that and understanding that, and it really challenges me, like when I go back to Canada, is like being a Christian or helping poverty isn't a one-time thing. It's like a lifestyle, and you really have to choose to live that way. and you can't just donate money once and say, okay, I've done my share. Like, and it's like what you were saying, Laura, it's like you have to build, like, it's community and it's building relationships, and it's not just giving out things and hoping that'll meet the needs. It's more than that. And so, like, I really want to challenge people when I go back, because, like, there's so much poverty in Kenya, but there's also poverty right back in Canada, in, like, our own backyard. So, like, I've always thought of the question, well, how can we help other countries if we are, if we're so bad at helping our own, do you know what I mean? So, I don't know, that's really, and it's been hard to see the poverty and to see how people have so little here. The poverty is different, but I think there's different kinds of poverty, too. Because, like, Thomas often says, like, the people here have so little materialistically, but community-wise, they're so rich. And then in Canada, like, even the poorest people have a lot of stuff, but you're all alone. Like, you don't have a family, you don't have a community to support you. Often you're outcast, so, like, you have nothing, really, in that sense. So it's very, very different, but it's still...
Yeah, it's interesting, too, like, how... As Canadians or as Westerners, sometimes we feel like money is the answer, and we're so money driven, and we feel like if there's poverty, then there needs to be more money to fix that. And I just think, like, just working in Eastleigh and working with these women, I don't think we're gonna change and give them more money and change their situation materialistically and do that for them. But I just wonder what God can do with a little bit of self confidence or a little bit of hope. And I really believe that the relationships that we can make with these people and just learning about them can give them more hope and can give them more self-confidence and can change their state of poverty. You know, they might be in poverty and they might not have a lot on the outside, but if you're living that way and inside you have a lot, then it can make a big difference for you.
I guess, like, the first time driving, especially driving into Eastleigh, and you'd see, like, especially because I'm a Mzungu, which is a white person, driving in the Eastleigh, and people just kind of see me and just look at me, because you don't often see white people going in the Eastleigh. But it's just, like, the look in their eyes was so strange, and I don't know how to explain it, but, like, it was, like, a hunger, but not necessarily for food, maybe for food. But it's just, I don't know, it's just something that I couldn't really understand, but it was very, very striking. And I guess now... I don't know if it has changed, but I think, especially with the girls in IF team, when I look in their eyes, I recognize them and I see, like, friendship and I see, like, just a welcoming. So, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
I guess, for the most part, like, especially when we walk through Eastleigh, I'm still very much intimidated because I don't know the street life. I don't know, like, every day... I've become accustomed to what I see driving in and out, but I don't understand. And so I feel distant because, like even washing clothes or getting food or having, as you would call it, showers, it's so different. And so I just feel that I don't understand, and I wish I could.
You've been listening to the Five Kennies podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about the ministry that we're part of here in Africa, please check out our blog at fivekennies.blogspot.com. And you can also learn more about what Canadian Baptists are doing in Africa and throughout the world at cbmin.org.
Having two Canadians
to hang
out with.
Yeah,
it's
a handful,
especially these two Canadians.
Oh, a handful. We're kids.
Yeah.
So notice she's talking about these two Canadians, not these two Canadians.
No, those two Canadians. These two Canadians.
I like you, Laura.
We like you.
But you'll only have one Canadian soon, because I've heard one of them has been sold off in marriage.
Oh yeah, we got a good deal.
Yeah, good deal.
800,000.
Mama, see you in a few years.
That was my cut. 800,000.
No, that's not your cut.
Send money sooner. There won't be a honeymoon.